Welcome everybody to Webinar Wednesday from Sight and Sound Technology. Great to be back as always. My name is Stuart Lawler and my colleague Carl Braley, live from our new offices, is joining us. Anyway, we're delighted to be back, and today is a major event for us because we are unveiling the BrailleSense 6, latest and greatest note taker from Selvus Healthcare, which we are really excited to be getting our hands on very, very soon and excited to be showing to lots of people. And we're absolutely delighted, in order to show us everything and talk to us all about it, to have Jenny Axler from Selvus in Korea. Jenny has joined us previously on our webinar sessions, and we're thrilled that she can join us again. Now, before we hand over to Jenny, we'd love to hear your comments and questions during the session today. And you can get in touch with us by raising your hand by pressing Alt and H if you're on a PC, or activating the raise hand button on a mobile phone. Similarly, you can chat by pressing Alt and H is to chat. Alt and Y is to raise your hand. So if you want to chat, Alt and H, or activate the chat button on your mobile phone. And as Carl always mentions, if you are chatting, please make sure to send your message to all panelists and attendees so that everybody can see everybody else's questions. And Carl will be keeping an eye on the raised hands and the chats, and we'll make sure to take your questions as we go along. We also received some email questions in advance of the session, and thank you to people who got in touch with us, and I will send those, or rather be, I will be putting those to Jenny during the session. So we're delighted to have everybody here. Just very final thing before I hand over to Jenny. In 2 weeks' time, there isn't a Webinar Wednesday event, and that's because we're participating in Sight Village Virtual. So we would really encourage you to join us for Sight Village Virtual in 2 weeks' time. We have a couple of presentations, and indeed, we'd strongly suggest that you explore the Sight Village Virtual seminar, because there's lots of great things coming up. And then we'll be back again with Webinar Wednesday on the 5th of May, and more information about that session will come in due course. So Jenny, great to have you. Thank you for staying up late to join us, and welcome back to Webinar Wednesday.
Thank you for having me. I'm always happy to be here, and I'm especially happy to be here today to introduce this fabulous new product to you. Some of you, I'm going to do this in two parts, and some of you may have seen the first part, and I do apologize for the redundancy for those of you who have seen that. I'm going to show a video that we've pre-recorded, partly because we could do a lot more in a compact form that way. However, it is not overly polished, and we also did that on purpose. We really want you to know that this is not a smoothed over sales video, that we're really doing this. And in fact, I am making a point. So there are two sort of themes in my presentation tonight. One is keeping it real. We are doing our best to keep it real. And the other one is to think outside the box in terms of what a note taker can do for you. And I go over a lot of the connectivity and various things at the end. And part of the reason I do that is just because I don't think people consider all of the different peripherals that you can use when you are connecting to a note taker. And that is especially now true with Android 10 and our four USB ports. In fact, right now, so before I get started, I would like to let you know that I am doing everything from the BrailleSense 6. I have a PC here, but I've shut it down, so it's of no use to me right now. So I am using the Zoom app on the BrailleSense 6. I have a webcam connected to my back USB port. I have all my USB ports full. I have my power port connected to power because I'm doing a lot. And I also then have a USB mixer, and I'm talking through the microphone on that. And I have the front port connected to a USB hub that is connected to Ethernet. So I'm utilizing everything. And I'm, like I said, I'm doing all of this on the BrailleSense 6. So the first thing I would like to do, as I said, I'm going to do this in two parts. The first part is a little bit long, and I apologize for that. There's a video that's about 25 minutes long that I'm actually going to show directly from here. The second part is I will quickly sort of overview the new applications. So we'll stop after the video and take some questions. And the second part will be very short, like 10 minutes of demo of some of our new applications. So let me, I could, if I were not doing a presentation on the Braille Sense, I could access this video via Google Files and just show it. But because I am using the Braille Sense, I actually want to show one thing. A lot of people are really wishing that they had the YouTube interface from the U2, but I gotta tell you, it's just as easy from here. And there are two ways that you could do it. One would be from our Google search app. This is where some of the magic happens. So we have our Braille Sense Google search app, but it gives you Google results. So if you were, for example, to type Braille Sense 6 overview, and especially if you add the word YouTube to it, you're going to get Braille Sense 6 YouTube videos, and you can just press enter. I'm going to do this with my voice. So the first thing I need to do, though, is to share my screen. So I'm going to do that and turn my voice on.
Voice on. Button share. Button okay. Press enter to activate. Button share. Button press enter to activate.
Just a second. It's giving me an alert.
Button okay. Press enter to activate. Only the host can share in this meeting.
Ah. Stuart, can
apologies,
you
apologies, Jenny.
To...
yes, one moment. This is okay. 1 second.
It's Zoom. We
this
always
is,
have
this is for, Zoom. Your, for your reference, Stuart. I'm shaking my head.
I've no doubt you are. this is a regular occurrence for Carl and I. Right.
One I'm sec, just glad it's you and not me. Whenever I present via Zoom, it's inevitable. Things just happen in lockup. So just a warning, Zoom and I don't play well together. So
okay. Jenny, you right, should I'm be able to. Now. You're a co-host. Right. You've got more power.
Button switch camera. Front camera selected. Button stop my video. Press enter to activate. Button share.
Okay,
button
here
press
we go.
Enter to activate. Button Microsoft OneDrive in list. 10 items. Button screen. Press enter to activate. 810. Cancel start now.
Start
button
now.
Start now. Press enter to okay. activate. Zoom.
All right. So are you still with me? I did something
yep.
strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
With you.
Okay. So we are going to do a voice search with Google, and I'm going to play this video. All right. So I will press my record and play buttons right now.
Opening search. Press enter to activate. View search result list. Button. Hymns. Braille Sense 6 overview. 25 minutes. Go to channel. Hymns International. 285 views 1 week ago. Play video. Press enter to activate.
So all I have to do now is press enter. Isn't that cool? All right. I'm going to turn my voice off before I do that, and we will play this video. So enjoy.
Voice off.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jenny Axler, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to this video webinar in which we will take a deep dive into some of the best features of our brand new Braille Sense 6. To summarize a bit about the system upgrades, we now have twice the storage at 128 gigabytes. We have twice the RAM at 6 gigabytes. We have a modern octa-core processor. And with Android 10 plus 4 USB ports, we support a ton of peripherals and modern applications. Let's take a quick physical tour. For those
Jenny,
of you who can see it, it looks very much like our previous Polaris
it's got
model.
The, pause and fast forward thing stuck on the screen at the minute.
Our
so
previous
it's...
Polaris model, but you will feel
oh,
a few
really?
Differences. It is thinner and lighter, just by a smidge. It's 705 grams, which is significantly
just
lighter than our Polaris model. If you look,
okay, so you're not seeing the video?
No, we've got the video, but you know where if you highlight it, it leaves the play, pause, and stop thing on there.
Oh, I need to hide the controls.
That's it, yeah.
Isn't that okay? All right, let me play, and I think I can do that. Look at the top face. It does look very Braille Sense-ish in that
there
network.
You go. Perfect.
A set of stereo speakers, one on each side of the top, and an LCD in the center. We have at the bottom of the top face a 32-cell Braille display with 32 cursor routers. Where you'll notice the difference is the keyboard. It now has a matte finish, and it has a much lighter touch when you type on it. So I know that's a little bit difficult to show in video, but trust me, it is an enhanced typing experience. And I think you'll have a lot of trouble out typing this keyboard. We've also changed the shape of the control and alt keys, as well as the function keys, to give them a more premium look and feel. Let's flip to the front edge, and this is going to look very familiar. It's exactly the same as the Polaris model. It has the key lock switch on the left, the media mode switch next, the 5 media buttons for controlling media playback, Daisy playback, and Android app operation, and on the right is the power button. We'll flip around to the left edge here.
And we have the volume buttons, as on the previous Polaris. We have the headphone and mic jacks. We do have a change here in that they are now Braille labeled. Above them on the casing is a letter M for the microphone and a letter H for the headphone jack, so you can't mix them up. Behind those is a full-size SD card slot. If we go around to the back edge, this one's very simple. We have only a USB-A host port. We'll move around now to the right edge. On the right edge, this is where we have the fun stuff. We have two USB-C ports with a USB-A port between them. And again, these have very specific purposes, so they also have specific Braille labels. The one in the back has a P above it, and I like to say this one is for power and PC, although the PC part is actually for any device that will host it, whether it be an Android screen mirror, a Macintosh, or a PC. It doesn't matter, but it is used to power the unit and is used to connect to a PC for the terminal, for data transfer, or to anything that's going to host the BrailleSense 6. The one in the front is labeled with a letter V because it is a USB host port, but is also specifically used for video out. Between them is another USB host port. So we have the power port and three USB host ports. Let's flip over to the underside of the unit. And again, this is going to look very familiar. It contains the camera and the battery compartment. And that will, in fact, wrap it up for the tour. So let's move on to the menus. And again, this looks very much like the traditional BrailleSense menus, but don't let that fool you. We will get to power and speed and all kinds of things that will show you that this is only the surface. So we have our file manager.
Word processor, W.
Our word processor.
Notepad, N.
Notepad.
Email, E.
We have email, and we have combined the email and Exchange email applications into one.
Media, M.
We have our media menu.
Media player, M.
With our media player.
FM radio, R.
FM radio.
Daisy player, D.
And Daisy player.
Media, M. Organizer, O.
And our organizer menu.
Address manager, A. Schedule manager, S. Database manager, D.
And yes, we have the same database manager that you guys have popularly requested from the YouTube. We have now brought it to the BrailleSense 6.
Organizer, O. Web tools, B.
We have our web tools menu.
Web browser, B.
And again, with our web browser.
Google search, G.
And we've kept the Google search.
Web tools, B. Extras, X.
We have our extras menu.
Excel viewer, X.
We have our Excel viewer.
Online Daisy, O.
Our online Daisy.
Sense dictionary, D.
And we now include the Sense dictionary in every unit. So this is not just a placeholder anymore. Whether you have a license or not, we do include English, US and UK, Spanish, Italian, and French.
Color reader, C.
And we have a new application here. We have a color reader.
Extras, X. Programs, R. Utilities, U.
The programs menu will only exist if you have installed external applications. So we'll go on to utilities.
Calculator, C.
We have calculator.
BrailleSense Math, M.
BrailleSense Math.
Display time and date, D.
Display time
World
and
clock,
date.
O.
And we have a new application here, a world clock, which lets you keep track of the time in any time zone that you choose to add to it.
Display compass heading, H.
Display compass.
Wake up alarm, A.
Wake up alarm.
Stopwatch, W. Terminal for screen reader, S. Display network status, display power status, format, F. Sleep timer, J. Macro manager, R.
And we still have our macro manager.
Upgrade BrailleSense firmware, U.
And upgrade.
Utilities, U. Settings, S. Set time and date, T. Set up internet, Bluetooth manager, menu manager, F. Backup restore BrailleSense, change device name, D. Quick start guide, Q. Password protection, A. Initialize BrailleSense options, voice options, V. Language profiles, L.
And there we have another new item. We now have a language profiles function, which allows you to set an unlimited number of profiles for different languages, including system language, Braille code, and speech settings, as well as your voice.
BrailleSense global options, O.
And we have our BrailleSense global options.
Android backup reset, R.
Android backup
reset. Android system settings, E.
And Android system settings, just as we have on the
settings, F. Help, H.
We have our help.
Play store, P.
We have the Play store.
All apps, A.
We have our all apps section, which again contains all of your installed Android applications.
Information about the BrailleSense, I.
And information about the BrailleSense. So remember all that stuff we were saying in the beginning about the double storage, double RAM, upgraded processor, Android 10, all of that? Well, I'm sure what you really want to know is, what does that mean in my practical world? So let's take a look. We'll start with some speed tests. The first thing I'm going to do is open a really large file. So I'll press enter on file manager.
Flash disk 13 list item.
And I have my flash disk. I'll press enter.
Books folder 116 list item.
And I'm going to open
RailSense U2 user manual, bear 9.0, doc 16.16 list item.
And anyone who has used the U2 know that the RailSense U2 manual is like the length of a Stephen King novel, or at least close to it. It's about 460 pages. So I'm going to press enter, and it's going to launch the word processor and load this file. I'm going to press enter right now.
Loading. RailSense U2 user.
And I just pressed backspace enter to stop speech, but it's finished. It just, as soon as it started to say RailSense U2, it was loaded. So that is how quickly things load these days. All right, let's try
RailSense U2
copying a large file from a USB drive or a large folder.
Flash disk 13 list item, USB 2.3 list documents folder 113 list item.
I have a folder of YouTube videos that I want to copy.
YouTube folder 913 list item.
And before I do that, let's take a look at just how big it is. So I'm going to press enter I to get the information.
Type folder 1 folder S 70 file S exist static box.
And we're gonna
size 872.98 megabytes static box.
So it's over 872 megabytes. I'll press F4.
YouTube folder 913 list item.
And I'm going to press enter C to copy.
YouTube folder USB 2.3 flash disk 13 list books folder 116 list item.
And I'm just going to put this on the root. So we'll do enter V to paste right now.
Pasting. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 56, 65, 7, 80, U2, 85, 90, 95, 100. One objects copied. YouTube folder 16, 17 list item.
All right. And that is all it took. Again, things much, much faster. Okay. Now let's check out opening a media file from Google Drive. So I'm going to press backspace.
Flash disk 13 list item.
And we'll go down to Google Drive.
US Google Drive 3.3 list item. Classroom folder 17 list item.
Okay. And remember that what I'm going to do is to open a file from the internet. So it's going to download and launch the media player. So we'll press S.
Sarah McLaughlin, colon MP367 list item.
And I'm going to press enter right now.
One object's copied. Sarah McLaughlin, title, track one, Sarah McLaughlin.
All right, and we are playing.
Sarah McLaughlin.
All right, how about web pages? Well, let's take a look at that. I will press space W, which is our global web address hotkey.
www.hymnsintl.com computer edit box.
And we'll go ahead and open the HymnsIntl website, which is already filled in. I'll press enter right now.
Starting web browser, www.hymnsintl.com. Loading. Hymns.
All right. And again, we are finished. As much as I love all that power and speed, the real star of the show for me is the connectivity. With our four USB ports, plus the Android 10 operating system, we have so much potential in terms of the accessories and peripherals that we can support, all the way from the practical to the frivolous. So let's start out with a bit of the practical. This is especially useful for parents and teachers, or if you want to share your screen with a colleague, etc. One of the greatest features that we're able to take advantage of is that we are now able to support USB-C portable monitors, like this little HP right here, which of course is blank right now. So let's actually remedy that. I'm going to make a lot of noise and bluster and connect this to the front USB-C port on the BrailleSense 6. And if all is according to plan, you should now see the BrailleSense main menu. Another neat little trick that we can now do is to mirror the BrailleSense 6's screen to an Android phone or tablet. And we can do that via an app called BrailleSense Mirroring that you can actually download from the Play Store right now, although you won't be able to do much with it until you have a BrailleSense 6. So this time we're going to connect using the rear USB-C port, the power port. And the reason we're going to do that is because the BrailleSense will be hosted by the other device, the Android phone or tablet. Okay, so I have an Amazon Kindle and it is popping up showing me the BrailleSense memory. Depending on what phone or tablet you have, this may be different. The important thing here is to locate the BrailleSense mirroring app.
App switcher, button. Shop Amazon. Oh, shop, business shop Amazon, BrailleSense mirroring.
Okay, we're gonna start. Double tap that. And again, I'm gonna double tap start.
BrailleSense mirroring.
And now I have to give it permission.
Allow BrailleSense to cancel, button, okay, button. Connected, top, button.
Okay, so now you heard several things. You heard the BrailleSense give a little bit of a sound to indicate that it's connected. And you heard the Kindle announce that it's connected. And now the button has changed to stop. Now, for those who are blind, you actually cannot do anything with this. This is mainly for sighted teachers, et cetera. But if the screen reader on the phone or tablet is turned off, the sighted teacher does have actually some control of the BrailleSense as well as the screen mirror. So, and also for those of you who can't see it, this is now displaying the BrailleSense main menu because that's what's displaying on the BrailleSense itself. So my screen is actually now being mirrored to the Kindle. Continuing with the visual theme, as you all know, we've been doing distanced learning and working for about a year now. And oftentimes, especially in professional settings and in school settings, you are required to have your video on. You can now do that with BrailleSense 6 via a USB external webcam. So let's go to All Apps.
Assistant.
And we'll go to Zoom.
And I'll press button, meet, and chat.
And I'm going to start a new meeting.
Image new chat, period. List new meeting, comma, button cancel, press enter to activate, period. Start a meeting, button start a meeting, press enter to activate, Zoom, button cancel, press enter to activate, period. Connecting, period.
And so we're now connecting.
Mute my audio, press enter to activate, period.
And it should be now showing me on this terrible webcam screen as well. They tell me that the quality is not nearly as good as our cameras here. So you should definitely be able to tell the difference. And so now I am actually on a Zoom call and I am showing my webcam. Of course, remember, you can also share the BrailleSense screen and show a PowerPoint or Excel or anything like that as far as a presentation goes. So this is very, very cool for doing a full featured presentation directly from the BrailleSense. And for you audio geeks like me, we get to have even more fun because we now support generic USB audio devices, and that does include mixers. So you can actually make a professional recording or a rehearsal recording directly on your BrailleSense 6. And if you don't believe me, check this out.
Or this fun.
No, let's go back to this. Okay, so we have some stereo reverb and I will actually record directly on the BrailleSense. So I'm gonna press the record button from the main menu. I'm pressing the media button on the front.
Record dialog, record, left parenthesis, enter R, right parenthesis button.
Okay, and I'll press enter.
Zero.
And now I am recording via the Alesis mixer on the BrailleSense 6 with some stereo reverb. Okay, I'll go ahead and stop it.
Play, left parenthesis, enter P, right parenthesis button.
And you can hear that there is no effect on the BrailleSense. So what you're going to hear coming out of the BrailleSense is not being affected by the mixer. And in fact, I'll even turn the effect on my voice off. And we will press enter to play this file.
Loading, record 04.
And now I am recording via the Alesis mixer on the BrailleSense 6 with some stereo reverb. Okay, I'll go ahead and stop it.
Play, left parenthesis, enter P.
So as you can hear, it is actually recording directly from the mixer and it's giving you all the effects and anything that, of course, that you connect to it will come through. The other really cool thing about a device like this Alesis mixer is that it also has a USB return. And I'm actually using that now. I don't have it plugged in. I don't have it routed through the mixer other than via USB. And I've pressed this little switch to use the USB return. And so it sends the audio back. The reason that you care about this is that if you're doing something like a Zoom presentation, Android doesn't allow you to share your audio. However, if you're using something like this, you can just simply flip a switch to turn your BrailleSense audio on and off. I've also tried several other devices. This little deal is a Zoom AM7, and this is a USB-C stereo microphone for those of you that are audio geeks. It supports 90 and 120 spread as well as an MS setting. And it just it connects directly through the USB-C cable. It's just a really, it's just a couple inches square. It's really light and small, but it makes a beautiful recording on RailSense. I've also tried these, excuse the finagling. I want you to see the microphones on the outside. This is a set of earbuds called the Ambio Smart Headset. And this is actually a lightning headset. So I've used this little anchor, this little anchor USB-C to lightning adapter to use this on the RailSense, and it works beautifully and it makes an ambisonic recording. You wear them on your ears and it's a really, really great option. The other thing that I've tried is this little job. This guy is the Zoom PodTrack P4. And this is where I'm getting all my sounds. I actually just press these little buttons here. So this is where all the sounds are coming from in this video, but I can also connect this via USB-C to the BrailleSense as well. And it also has a USB return. It has 4 XLR inputs. And again, this is cool because if you're on the go, you could use this to do a pretty full-featured Zoom presentation, including the sounds. You have your USB return as well, so you can bring the BrailleSense audio with it. And it's, again, it's very, very portable and light, and it's not terribly expensive. So very cool. This really, again, offers you tons of options to play with and tons of flexibility in terms of using the BrailleSense for audio production and presentation. Let's talk about keyboards. As you know, keyboards come in many shapes and sizes and are Bluetooth, USB, wireless, etc. One of the more interesting types of keyboards that I have found is the AirMouse remote. And this looks very much just like a remote control. On the back of this one, there's a full QWERTY keyboard that's actually quite common with these things. They're usually used for Android smart TVs. So you can search Netflix and things like that. But you can also use it on the BrailleSense to do the exact same thing. And so if you want to watch, these streaming services are actually quite accessible, especially on the BrailleSense. So if you actually want to watch something with your family, though, you're probably going to be plugged into a monitor and plugged into the wall, etc. So this is a way that you can actually connect it from far away. Now, this one actually takes a wireless USB dongle, so I'm going to connect that. Just help if you put it in the right direction. Okay, and now I need to switch this on. And so if I...
Organizer, O. Web tools, B. Extras, X.
I am pressing the down arrow and it's actually controlling the BrailleSense. So I'm able to select, I'm able to change volume.
Main volume 9, main volume 8, main volume 9, main volume 10.
And do all kinds of different things. So this is really useful. The other thing that I think this might be useful for is possibly a one-handed user who might want to augment some of the BrailleSense control with something that they can more easily do with one hand. Because it's so small and it has the very small QWERTY keyboard, it may be easier, again, for people with dexterity issues. So let's take a look at a couple of other things. You can use programmable keypads in the same way, like this, for example. Now this one I actually purchased with round keys, and one really cool thing about it is that it came also with a set of square keycaps. And for those of you who can actually see this, I have mix and matched them. So this is a macro programmable keypad. And what that means is that you can program macros and they're stored inside the keypad. So then I can connect it to the BrailleSense and actually it will be seen as a QWERTY keyboard. And as long as you set a QWERTY keystroke sequence, it will enter like that. Again, this could be useful for just shortening your own use of things if you have a specific program like Zoom, for example. Maybe you want to set a button to mute and unmute your audio, things like that. You could use this again with the BrailleSense, but this is also, I think, useful again for one-handed users or for people who have dexterity issues, because you can use the tactile shapes and you can make things happen with one keystroke rather than trying to use all the keys on the Braille keyboard. One example might be space Z. It's a very common function, but for a one-handed user is really difficult to type. But if you had something like this where you could program that to a single key, that could augment their use and make their use of the BrailleSense more efficient. Well, this is awesome. You can connect all of this great stuff, but what happens if you want to connect a lot of it at one time? Well, we do have 3 USB host ports, but you can actually do more than that. With several USB hubs, we have tested so many types and shapes and sizes, like this Anker one, which has a USB Ethernet port on the end and HDMI, and everything works with that. That's great. We also have this really fun vintage model that you probably can't even get anymore, but I just had to show it because it's so weird. It's 4 USB ports, but they're all, it's kind of like this octagonal plastic weird thing. But anyway, it's cool. And it does work. Here is a more common type that has USB and HDMI. We have this little cool one, which is another cheap model. This one actually came from China and came with a laptop that I have, and it has 3 USB ports and 2 SD card readers, a full size and a micro, and it will see all the devices at once. And let's see. Let's end with this one. Now, this one has a ton of stuff plugged into it. I have 4 USB devices. Actually, it's 2 card readers and 2 USB drives plus HDMI. And we're actually going to plug this one in so that you can actually see that this really works. So I'm going to connect it to the front USB-C port. And we're just going to wait a moment because it does actually take it a minute. There's one. There's 2, there's 3, and the fourth one tends to take a little bit longer. And I hope that we are also now, oh, there's number 4, and you should now also be seeing the screen of the BrailleSense. And to prove that these are all connected, I'm going to press enter on the file manager.
Flash disk 1/6 list item.
And it says flash disk 1/6, and we have flash disk and Google Drive, and all 4 of those devices were detected and are viewable in the file manager. And of course, you can also use them, copy to and from, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't necessarily have to be all USB drives. As I said, we do have HDMI connected here also. You're generally going to probably max out at 5 or 6 devices, but that's still quite a lot of peripherals. And remember, too, I also have my USB mixer connected on top of all of these things in the hub. So this is pretty darn fabulous. This is really, it's very possible for this to be the center of your workstation. And I'm going to go ahead and stop it right there because that's pretty much the end of it. So I think we will take a break now and take some of your questions if Carl and Stuart want to take over for a minute.
Thanks, yep. Jenny. That was, wow, fantastic.
It's my awesome.
That's amazing. Do we have any raised hands, Carl?
Not at the moment, but I've got a couple of questions. Okay. Right. First of all, remote support. Is there something like TeamViewer or something that we can pre-install?
So TeamViewer quick support does work. It worked on the Polaris as well, although you didn't have control. To be honest, I haven't checked it yet, and that's on my list of things to do because I want to think it actually might work for remote control at this point, but I actually haven't checked it yet. I'm so sorry. I will do that very soon because that is something that we are concerned about and is something that's on our radar. We actually had been working on a mirroring application of our own for Polaris that you were actually able to even remote control one Polaris with another. We never quite got that finished, but if we could sort of revisit that, that would be awesome as well. But that's sort of something that's at least on our drawing board and has gotten a little bit further than that, actually. So I think that will be possible, yes. But as far as TeamViewer specifically, I'm not sure if you have, I know you have remote mirroring support. I'm not sure if you have control yet.
That's brilliant. That's enough. I'm sure it will be working because I know it's there on, you can pretty much put it on any Android phone now to take control, right? Can't you? So
yeah, I think with Android 10, that's going to be just sort of, as you said, ingrained.
It's a standard thing, I think, isn't it? Right, that's that. Brian, Stuart, I think you got the same email as I did from James with regards to pricing.
Yes.
I just asked him and got it. Do you want me to just run through it?
If you don't mind, because you're the pricing guru.
Right. So the RRP, I'm going to give you it in euros and sterling. So the RRP is going to be the same as what the Polaris was at 4,395 sterling, and that's 4,966 euro. The upgrade cost is going to be £999, and these are only for units purchased in 2021, I have to let you know. I'm not sure if they're going to arrange a pricing for older units, but at the minute they're saying just for 2021, so that may be something that we have to take up with Salvas at a later time.
Yeah, and this is the upgrade is where the Braille cells will be moved, Jenny, isn't that correct, into the new machine from your Polaris?
Yes, and unfortunately I'm not a salesperson, so I can't speak to what's going on with Sight and Sound in that regard, but that is something that we are trying to work with, yes.
Yeah, we'll find out about how far back we can take the units, because to be fair, they haven't exactly changed a lot over the last, since they've been released, so maybe there is movement for older units anyway. The euro price for that upgrade is 1,128.90, I'll say. So let's just call it 1,129 euro, just to round it up. So that's what we're doing at the minute. Hang on, let's just a second. That app you mentioned, Jenny, is that iPhone compatible as well?
Which app?
The mirroring app.
Oh, right now it's just Android, unfortunately. Sorry about that. But it does work with, and we've tried it with Galaxy phones and tablets. We've tried it with Kindle. We really want to try to get it to work with Amazon Fire tablets because they're very cheap. They're also small to carry around. And so there is that. There are other mirror applications, one that I've tried with the PC, and Stuart still, he said he didn't have it, couldn't install it, but I'm not sure how I did, but there is something called Let's View that works really well via Wi-Fi to a Windows PC or Windows tablet as well. So there are quite a few options that you can probably do, but unfortunately, no, we haven't created a direct mirror for iPhone. Sorry about that.
Okay, no, that's fine. It's I guess because it's kind of like the Mirrorcast thing, isn't it? Which is an Android.
Yeah.
An Android platform anyway. Chromecast. Chromecast. Yeah. So it's based completely around an Android system, but that's fine. Another question, one from Chris. Can Google Drive Chat and Meet be installed?
Google Meet, yes. Google Chat.
Chat might be what used to be Hangouts, if I'm not mistaken, or is that all now encompassed into Google
Duo.
Meet?
So I'm not entirely sure what Google Chat is. I've used Google Duo and Google Meet, and they work very well. Yes, Google Drive, it will come on it. It's a stock part of Android, so that will actually come on the device. And then once you've signed into Google Drive, you can do this, and you can access it directly from our file manager, as I showed on the video. So it appears as a drive, just like your flash disk and any SD card or USB drive that's connected, which is really great, especially if you are using Google Classroom, because, and I also appeared when I opened my Google Drive, the first folder there was Classroom. So what that allows you to do, if your teachers post these in a certain way, you're actually able to access your assignments directly from our word processor or Notepad, or if you need to watch a video, you can access them directly from our file manager, which is super useful. And you can save things back to Google Drive the same way. So when you save a document that you've edited, and then it automatically uploads to Google Drive and creates a new copy. So this is, again, if you sort of might have to talk to your teachers a little bit, because it does require a specific way to post the assignments, but it really makes it easier because you can, in many ways, bypass the Classroom app, which we can use. There's no problem. It's just very busy. And it's sometimes really difficult to find your way around it because there's just so much in it. But anyway, I'm rambling, so go ahead.
No, it's a good point. And just to say that some of the students that I have supported lately with Google Classroom have found, Jenny, that solution that you talk about to be ideal, where they're doing everything through Drive. Great. Which is good. Can I put a few email questions in? Is that possible?
I'll let you, yes.
Come on. A few really quick ones. So we've one from Samuel Wilkins, who says, I have a quick question I would like to submit. Is it possible to connect a Bluetooth QWERTY keyboard to the Braille Sense and use that? So he says there are times I would like to be able to type as opposed to not Braille.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This is generally an Android. You know, I didn't even talk about Bluetooth in the video, and we're probably going to have to update it for release, because the other thing I did not mention, you can also connect things like a Fitbit or a smartwatch. But certainly, yes, a Bluetooth keyboard, Bluetooth headsets, absolutely. I have this really fabulous, I'm a gadget junkie, so I have this really fabulous tri-folding keyboard. Actually, I saw this when I was in London at Site Village and ordered it from Amazon, but it is a USB and Bluetooth combination. You can use it either way, and it will connect up to 3 devices, and it's foldable, and it's very cool. It's called iClever, and it has like a nice aluminum outside, so I highly recommend that one.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, it'll connect.
Thank you.
Fiona, an email from Fiona, who says, a little while back, they offered to switch, I think she's talking about BT, my broadband to a newer, faster connection, which was not compatible with my Braille Sense at the time. Will the new Braille Sense work with the more up-to-date systems? And I know I have a 5G option on my wireless network, and I think it'll connect to that. So,
yeah, and Stuart mentioned this earlier. I actually think it'll work on the Polaris, but there's a setting that you need to change. I cannot remember, and I don't have a Polaris in front of me right this very second. I'm not sure I think it is in our options. I'm very sure that it is. So if you go to setup internet, and then go to options, there's an option to search for 5G only. And I believe if you do that, then you'll be able to find it and connect to it.
Okay.
On the Polaris as well as the BS6, of course, it just works.
We got another question from Andrea Gordon, and I suppose she's just talking about other note takers in this space, and she would just like to talk a little bit. Or Jenny, could you comment about the how well it performs maybe on the web when doing things that will require connectivity, maybe browsing websites? Is it pretty robust, I suppose?
It's definitely a lot snappier than any note taker I've ever used. There are always going to be challenges with the web. You know, this is the case even with JAWS, trying to keep up with all the new standards. It's just, you know, I recently put something out on Twitter about assistive technology. You know, the fact is, for it to assist, the technology has to exist first. And so there's always this little bit of a lag. And I think that's especially true for the web. So I wouldn't say that you won't have any challenges at all, but I have definitely found it to be a lot snappier. Everything that was happening, I did several things where I was actually working from the internet. I played the file from Google Drive. What else did I do? I got into Zoom and it was reacting snappily, you know, much, much faster even than on the Polaris. I think that you're going to find this to be a much improved experience all around. Yes.
Okay, brilliant. And last two email questions, and then I'll hand back to Carl. And this is from Jeff Bashton. And he says, he has two questions. Will there be an 18-cell version of the Braille Sense 6? And will it be able to interface with an Index Basic D V3 embosser?
There will not be an 18-cell Braille Sense, but there will be a 20.
Gosh.
No, no, there will be a 20. Yes,
wow.
The Polaris Mini. So yes, there will be a mini version, but we do 20 cells. We pack 20 cells in there instead of 18. So brilliant. Even better, but it's still very small. It'll be probably a little bit, I think it'll be about the same as the Polaris Mini actually, as far as size and weight and all that. So yes, it'll be very, it'll be very compact. So to your second question, actually, we are working on that right now. The Index Basic D, we actually got the developer kit from Index and we are making that happen. So yes, that will be
supported. So that doesn't necessarily mean it will be the version 3 though, does it? Because that's been superseded twice now. Yeah, it's an old unit. I know, I think even the Polaris struggled with the V3s as well. So I can only guess that
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even catch that.
I wonder if does that have USB though, the V3, or is that the old parallel?
And I think that you can.
The old connector, isn't it? I think.
We used to support those USB to parallels, and I know there are some instances where we can send like just a text stream to the embosser. Oh wow, I am not sure. I know we support V4 and 5. I will have to check on that. I'll check on that and get back to Sight and Sound.
Once I hear Jeff, we'll come back to you. So, okay, that's all our email questions. Thanks to everyone who got in touch ahead of the event. And we go back to Carl.
Right, I'm just going to motor through the questions in the chat. Then we've got 6 hands raised, so I'll get to them before they all run away. Norman Octon, yes, Sight and Sound will sell this. And with regards to repairs, as long as it's not motherboard issues, Sight and Sound repair everything here. Our tech support boys are out of this world, and they're all trained by those lovely guys over at Selvus, and they rip anything apart and put it back together as it came apart as well, which is pretty impressive. So I hope that answers your question. Derry's just asked, it's just a quick one for you, Jenny. What was the name of that gadget with the 4 XLR used with Zoom?
Oh, the PodTrack P4. It's kind of new. It's really kind of cool.
That sounds quite cool, doesn't it? Right, we're just going to move on to my lovely friend David Halliwell. Does the unit switch on faster than the Polaris?
I would reboot and show you, but it would kick me off of Zoom. But yes.
The processor and everything's been increased massively, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So you'd like to say that the startup time has got to have been worked on that way.
It is much faster. Yeah.
How about the battery capacity?
It's going to be about the same as far as your battery life goes. It's a little more efficient. So the battery capacity is slightly lower, but it's also more power efficient. So we haven't actually finished our complete tests on that, but what was I doing? I was connected to Zoom at CSUN and it was like 3 hours later and I had all these devices connected and I wasn't connected to power. And I think I still had like 56. No, it was more than that. It was about 65%, I think, but I was doing a lot. I mean, I was really powerhousing it. I was connected to the internet and I had a mixer and all this and a webcam and all this stuff connected. If you don't have all that stuff connected, you're going to get a really, really long battery life. I think it's going to probably be similar to what the Polaris is. So probably near to something like 17 or 18 hours, but we haven't actually tested it. So I don't know.
But obviously with the efficiency, as again, with all the new processors and stuff, that should save on battery life.
A lot of this is going to be dependent on what you're doing because this can do a lot more. You know, as I said, if you've got all your peripherals connected and you're connecting to the internet and you're streaming audio and doing all this stuff, it's definitely going to make a difference. Whereas if you are not powering 3 other devices, you know, obviously you're going to have a lot more battery life. So
that's brilliant. David's final question, I'll answer this one. We are supposed to be getting them in June. I know our demo units are en route, and I also know someone's already got theirs, Stuart.
Stuart is our valued beta tester,
Jenny.
Oh, here we go.
You know that Sight and Sound is involved in the development and stuff right now.
And we are testing stuff, I suppose, that's kind of local to this region, let's say.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant. Yeah, so David, your answer is we're hoping to have the models ready to ship at some point in June. Right, next quick one. Carla Savage has asked, would this work with MS Teams in a work environment?
It should, and it should actually work a lot better than Polaris does. I don't use Teams much. We do need to try that. But we did, I've tried it on Polaris and I've attended Teams live events. It's brilliant with that, but that's also a smaller platform. The Polaris could work with Teams, but there would be some lag and some slowdown and you're just not going to have that with the BrailleSense 6. So I very much think that shouldn't be a problem.
That's certain, and it's something I have not tested yet, and we do use Teams in Sight and Sound, so I'll have a look at that. There was a bit of lag, as Jenny says, on Polaris, but I would expect it to be a lot better.
Brilliant. Last question from the chat box. Can the web browser support web-based apps such as Salesforce? That's a nice one for you.
I don't know. So what we have found is that, things do open. There's all this connection. For example, if we open a link in email that needs to go to Zoom, it will automatically do that. So when these things are connected, it seems to work. Of course, this is the problem. We can't test every app. So have I tested Salesforce specifically? I have not. But you know what? I think Hims Inc. uses that. So that's something that, again, I can make them try for me because I don't have access to it. Theoretically, it should, but I don't want to promise something that I haven't tested.
It might be also worth saying, Jenny, I used to use Salesforce in a previous working life, and it does have an app. And I know at the time some of my colleagues found the app on a mobile platform to be a lot easier to use. So It may be worth trying the Android Salesforce app to see if that works.
I would say yes. And I do know that they did try that on Polaris. And again, it was a little bit sluggish, which I think is probably one of the biggest things that I am happy about, is that third-party apps, they respond instantly. Whereas on Polaris, there is a little bit of lag in those and you just don't see it. It just makes the whole experience feel smoother. Everything's more efficient and quicker. And especially when you're using first letter nav, you can just jump to things. And it's just really nice. Even when I was in YouTube there and I wasn't sure what to do, and I needed to go to hide controls, I just pressed the letter H and boom, I was there. Yeah. So that I think is just one of the biggest improvements is everything is just instant.
Excellent. Mark Higgins has just said something. He says he uses Salesforce as a senior manager in higher education and it does work very well with the standard HTML. These days, so it should work. So we're getting someone, I believe, that's using it, telling us that it should work without issue. So that's good enough for me.
Great. Brilliant to hear that.
Right. Let's start with some hands then. Mike Brace, you're up first. You've just muted yourself. That's it.
I just need to... Hey, Mike.
Okay. Hi. Mine's a very basic one, Jenny. Does it have the full diary facility independently? And more importantly, will it also then connect with your diary on your laptop or on your calendar or on an iPhone? And will it sync them? Will it sync them?
You mean with Google Calendar?
If you're using a laptop where you're getting invites for meetings, etc., through your computer, and then I plug in my diary facility on the on this device, will it actually sync the two together?
Do you know which specific? Like, are you talking about an Outlook calendar, Google calendar?
Outlook calendar.
Okay. Well, the answer is going to be yes, either way. So the way that this works is anything that will synchronize with an Android calendar will sync up, especially if you have it connected. The interesting thing is, so we support Exchange email, but we don't support Exchange contacts and calendar, but you can do it. And there's just a tiny little workaround that's not really difficult. And that is to install something like Outlook for Android and set up your account. And seriously, that's it. You don't have to do anything else. It will automatically come into the Polaris calendar. As long as you have it in your account settings, you have it turned on, you have sync turned on, it will automatically sync with your, and you'll get alarms for your appointments. And I remember I discovered this on Polaris and I was really surprised because I'd done that. I was testing some email app and all of a sudden I had this, my alarm was going off for this appointment that was on my Selvus calendar. I'm like, wait, how did that happen? So I didn't have to do anything. That's the point. So even if you don't use Outlook for Android, just installing it and setting up your account is enough. It'll automatically bring it all in.
So. And that would work with the calendar on iPhone if you do download that, because that's obviously iOS, not Android?
If your iOS is syncing with your Google Calendar or some other Android calendar or your Outlook calendar, it'll all sync up. Anything that's syncing automatically with your Google, that's the easiest way to deal with it, is to sync everything with your Google Calendar, then you don't have to do anything. It just automatically comes in. There's nothing you have to do at all, because the BrailleSense will automatically take everything from your Google Calendar and bring it into the Schedule Manager.
Okay.
Brilliant.
All right. Thanks for that, Mike.
No, I'm simply... Samuel Wilkins, if you could unmute yourself, please.
Are you now unmuted?
Yes, thank you. I've got a couple of questions. Is it possible to connect up to a network printer with the BrailleSense 6? Because I've worked in some schools where I do some peripatetic teaching on the BrailleSense, and one of the questions I had was, is it possible to connect to a network printer? Because unfortunately, there is no documentation, well, not as far as I could see, on Android system settings, and I was a bit nervous about messing with those. And the other question is, I know what you said, Carl, you answered my question I previously had, was about to have, about the upgrades. How will we know if it is possible? Because I know you said at the moment that it will only be, that the upgrades will only be for 2021 units. How can we be notified if the situation changes?
The easiest route for that would be to give us a call in June when we do the release. We are going to be sending out a shed load of mail shots, letting people know anyway. So you are going to be told when it's due for release, and the exact date and pre-order dates and everything else. So hopefully at that point we'll have some more clarity on the exactly what we can do with regards to how old they're going to go back to upgrade the versions.
So about the network printers, again, this is sort of going to depend on your situation. So you actually do need to go into Android settings. You are right, because the way that this works is that in the word processor, when you choose print, it's going to use whatever the default printer is in Android settings. So yes, you actually do want to connect to your printer that way. If it has an app, or there's an app called Hammerprint that I like just because it supports just about everything. And sometimes you can get things connected easier. But once you are connected to the network printer and it is set as your default printer in Android settings, the word processor will automatically use that.
Right. Thank you very much. It's because there's no documentation on the Polaris about how to do these things on the Android settings. And I was a bit nervous about messing with them.
Oh, sure. You probably won't hurt anything. You can always undo it. There's this little awesome thing that says reset app preferences. If you ever get into any trouble and it's doing something you don't want, just do that. It'll change all your Android app preferences back. It won't erase anything, and it will undo anything that you don't like. So no problem.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jenny. All right, let's move on to the next one. Oh, my goodness, what am I doing? Anna Louise Smith, it's down to you now, please, if you can unmute yourself.
Can everyone hear me?
We can, yeah, Anna. How are you?
Right. I'm going to try and say this as nicely as possible, so please don't upset me. This business of the upgrading to the new units, I bought my Polaris probably about this time last year. In a deal. I need to probably talk to you properly, Carl. Yeah. I'll give you a ring later on this afternoon. I bought it as a deal. I appreciate, Carl, you went in your position last year. I suspect one of the reasons you possibly were doing the deal was because you were hoping that the new Sense 6 was coming out and you didn't want to get left with machines. But because of the pandemic, we've had a big delay in the Sense 6 coming out. So I think my message, I'm hoping it gives Sight and Sound something to work with. But also I would say to him, I think because of this pandemic, there are people like myself who are potentially really going to lose out badly if they only do the 21, and possibly had their machine come out when it should have done and we hadn't had this pandemic, they would have then got an upgrade, because I suspect that's what would have happened with me. Had it come out last year, I would have been able to get an upgrade. So I would just say, you know, just for the goodwill of your customers, that perhaps it would be really good if you could do the upgrade for those that bought their machine in the pandemic.
We'll find out anyway, Anna Louise. The thing is with it is it's like I say, I literally got handed this information while we were on air. I asked for the
fine
info.
Carl.
And Selvus are still selling the Browsense Polaris. They've not taken it off the market, as are we. Yeah. We still have stock of them. We're still selling them now. So it's not something that's been replaced.
It hasn't been set in stone. It hasn't been replaced yet, and it's not been set in stone.
It's basically a whole new unit, so that's why I think they changed the name.
To be honest, I would have upgraded. In fact, I talked to Stuart about upgrading because, you know, as I said, it's a little bit like a car. If you keep up to date, you can keep the costs down. But, I'll probably talk to you properly later on, Carl, because there is another issue that I need to discuss with you.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bear in mind as well, for people, and this is absolutely nobody's fault. It's the pandemic. It's happened. I mean, I've had very little use of my Polaris in the last year because I've not been able to have, well, we have done the training on Zoom. We eventually did the Zooming on me and Stuart, but even so, we're saving back sessions for face-to-face. So I've had limited use as well, but I will talk to you properly about it, Carl.
Yeah, we'll have a chat. Not a problem.
I don't need to come over as
It's a genuine question. It's what we expect, and it's like I say. I literally just read that email where it's saying it's who purchased. Yeah. So I mean, that doesn't mean it's set in stone that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to fight the case for everyone anyway.
Yeah, because I do think it would be fair if they did it for everyone that bought the Polaris in the bought it in the pandemic, because things have gone all over the place in the pandemic.
Definitely.
And so I'll probably give you a ring later on this afternoon, Carl, and we can discuss
We'll have a chat, definitely. Yeah. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna.
Right. Caroline, it is you. If you could just unmute yourself, please.
Hi. Well, just a couple of things. First off,
Sorry.
Winner of our quiz, by the way, as well. Winner of the Christmas quiz.
Oh,
we have to
the Techno Lab.
Yeah.
She's from Canada.
Yeah. So just a quick comment. First of all, I actually do have a program that syncs my Outlook calendar with my Google Calendar both ways on the computer. So there is a way to do that. And then, of course, it all syncs with my Polaris at the moment. But what I'm wondering is, for those of us that are techno geeks, Jenny, is there going to be a list, even though I know it would not be exhaustive by any means, of all these little gadgets and gizmos that you've been talking about?
We have already talked about that, and I actually discussed that with my boss last week, that we need to add this, and I told him that I would collect it and compile it. But there will be two things, actually, that I think that we have to do. I did an accessible apps list for Polaris, but I think we need to update that, and I think it's going to be more useful and utilized with the BrailleSense 6 just because it's so smooth with Android apps. So we will do both an accessible apps list and a compatible accessories list, which will have links to the products and all of that. And we'll do the different categories and all of that. So
perfect. Yes. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Caroline. Lenita, if you could unmute yourself, please.
I might have missed this. The dimensions of the BrailleSense 6, centimeters long, wide, high.
I don't know them exactly. If you've seen the Polaris, they are the same.
I've got a U2 Mini, so I don't know how that. It's obviously slightly bigger than that, is it?
It's narrower. It's thinner.
Right.
Yeah.
It's thinner. Is bigger. You're probably looking. Let me just guesstimate. You're looking at about 20 centimeters high.
Mm-hmm.
About 20. I'm guessing now. I've got my fingers out now trying to work this out. About 28 centimeters wide,
right.
and not far off, just short of an inch deep.
Right.
So it's in comparison to what the Browsense U2 and U2 Mini were,
mm-hmm.
it's sleek and streamlined and
they
feel so nice in your hands.
Right. And then the next question is, when will the Browsense 6 Mini be ready? I mean, you are obviously working on it.
Right. We think it's probably going to be in the fall.
Right.
So it's actually not going to be like another year. It'll be probably 3 or 4 months behind the 32.
Okay.
We've got a little assistant on from America, Thomas Simpson's on the chat. Thomas. He's got the measurement. So it's 24 and a half centimeters long.
Mm-hmm.
14 and a half deep and 2.2 centimeters, so about an inch thick. I weren't far off.
Right. Oh, well done.
You know what we
and then the last question, sorry. And I'm not a techno geek, I'm very far behind with everything. But could you connect the Browsense 6 to an iPhone? I mean, in other words, use it as a terminal.
As a Braille terminal. Yeah, absolutely. All our products do that.
Right. Thank you very much.
And it weighs 695 grams. Thanks, Thomas. You're a star.
No, it's 705. It turned out to be 10 grams more than
me. Oh, no, Thomas, you've let me down.
So, yeah, it is 705 grams. Thank you very much. It's still 45 grams lighter than the Polaris, but that's what it is.
Thank you.
And it is great to have Thomas here. So welcome, Thomas, to Webinar Wednesday.
He's profusely apologized. I'll let him off. I did actually put a Webinar Wednesday advert on the Browsense users page on Facebook last night, you see. So I was hoping we'd get some. Thomas won't get a discount, Chris. Thomas works for Selvers. He gets his for nothing. He's the freebie. So if you want anything, tap him up. No, I'm joking. Right. Fiona Gamerson, we've got three hands left and then we can move on. Fiona, if you could just unmute yourself, please. I'll start doing the countdown. Oh, there we go.
I have a Polaris and I am never able to follow the links. I have to, the links have come up as text. So I have an iPod Touch, which I use with the Polaris. So I always have to go into the iPod to follow any links that I might be sent in emails.
You mean from email?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or from anything. I mean, if I'm reading a web page, I never use my Polaris really for the internet now because the iPod is so much quicker. And I take it that these problems are a thing of the past with the Browsense 6.
They are, but you should be able to do this on your Polaris as well. And you may have to get in touch with Stuart and figure out why that's not working for you, because it should. The other thing we might want to make sure is, are you upgraded? Are you running the newest version of the Polaris?
I don't know. The firmware? I'm not a geek. Okay.
No,
I'm the one that asked the question about the internet connection, because when they were upgrading my, BT came around and said, you can now have, faster broadband. I said, well, I'd like it, but you have to make sure it works with my machine. And it didn't. So I have the old fashioned broadband here, and next door where my father-in-law lives, I got the newer broadband, and I can't use my Polaris there. I can only use my iPod.
Fiona, if you want to get in touch with me after the session,
okay, fine.
Can we arrange a call and try to work out what might be going on? Help make sure you get your own.
That'd be great, because I would like to be able to use it for web pages and things, but I just can seldom ever open them. So it's obviously my problem. Thank you.
Just drop me an email afterwards and we'll sort it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you, Fiona. Let me just lower my hand. Jeff Baston, if you could unmute yourself, please.
Can you hear me?
We've got you.
Hi, yep. Jeff. Yep.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I'm sure lots of people want to know this one, Jenny. Clearly, at $4,500, these devices are not cheap. So we're now on Android 10. Is there an upgrade policy? Are you going to replace the motherboards every so often if that's the solution? Give us a handle on upgrade policy, please.
Sure. So yes, we had hoped to be able to upgrade the Polaris, and as you know, that did not happen. We are actually locked into an upgrade plan, so we will be upgrading the OS, and it will not require a hardware upgrade. It will probably happen in 2022 or 2023. So you will see that, and it won't be. It'll be a jump. I mean, we'll skip to whatever's current at the time. So yes, there will be at least one. I'm not entirely sure. I don't think that we've fully locked this in place, but we have locked it in with our board maker and the people that we've worked with to create our platform. So it's something that we definitely know will be supported, and it is in our plan.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
No, that's gone. I'm not hanging around. Right. Anna Louise. Oh. Anna.
I'm here. I'm still with you. To the person who was talking about the Facebook page, I can't remember his name.
That was me.
That was Carl.
That was you, Carl. I tried to get onto the page. Are you in charge of it now, Carl?
You might need to speak to Thomas.
Ah, Thomas. I was trying to get on the page a couple of weeks ago and couldn't get onto it. Couldn't find it, couldn't get onto it. So could I, how do you get onto it?
It's just under BrailleSense users.
Okay, BrailleSense users. Okay, I'll try that again.
Have a look, yeah, because Thomas is your man. Thomas is the mod. He's in charge of the page. Okay. It's his, I believe.
Thomas,
so.
Then.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, this is a question that me and Stuart came across a couple of weeks ago. I say this to Jenny. Jenny, how do you do word count on the Polaris?
Oh, when you're in the word processor or notepad, press space 156.
Space 156.
Yeah, so what that's going to, like, where am I? It's a WH sign, like, where. So if you can remember that, that'll help you remember it. So what that's going to give you, though, it's going to give you page, it's going to be like line, page, paragraph, then it'll give you word, like it'll say 2356 of 5068. So it's going to give you like that. And there's also then a character and space count. Both of these are in the read menu. Yes.
In the read menu. So I have to get to the read menu, do I?
Well, you don't have to.
This is the shortcut if you want.
Yeah. But if you forget, that's where they're located.
Okay,
if you,
right.
If you forget but what the shortcut is, they're in the read menu.
Okay. Yep. Thank you ever so much, Jenny. That's really helpful. I'm hoping to go back to uni in September, and I know, and I write for a newsletter as well, and I know that you have to watch the word count. So that's really helpful. Thank you.
Are you thinking about getting your new BrailleSense through the DSA then, Anna?
No, I've got my Polaris already because I got it a year ago, as I said, and I hope everybody's not too annoyed about that. And I will be claiming disabled students' allowance, yes, if I get a space at college and we can work out how to pay for it. Yes, I will be claiming that.
If you do go through DSA, here's just a little thing for you. We actually have a part of an assessment centre group as well. So if you need any assistance with that, just let us know.
I certainly will, but I'll talk to you properly later anyway, Carl.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much for all your help, everybody.
No problem.
Thanks, Anna. Talk to you soon. Yeah.
Ever the salesman.
Of course, never miss a chance.
I can't get it out of my system. Right, sorry about that. I can't help it. It's bred into me. Next one, Fritz. If you could unmute yourself, please. Fritz Bizarre.
Fritz.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We've got you.
Okay, excellent. I just have a question with regards to the BrailleSense 6 compatibility with social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. Is it extremely
so much better?
Is it extremely compatible?
I wouldn't. You know, some of those sites are not very fun, but the one that I found huge improvements with is Facebook. Facebook on the Polaris is just not very fun. I like it so much on the BrailleSense 6. And the one very cool thing that I discovered is that you get image descriptions because we're now in Android 10. And so they're automatic. It's so neat. I never realized how much I was missing. So,
Oh, wow. That's quite impressive.
So I think one of the big things that I had, you know, again, it's very sluggish and Facebook still is because it's sort of switching. Well, I wouldn't say it's very, but it's switching pages, but you are able to do so much more now with it. It's really great. And Twitter is the same way. It's, you know, I still prefer, and I very much hope that Natick updates their MoTweet app because I still prefer that. But you can use the Android Twitter app, and it's definitely better than it was on the Polaris. A lot of it is Android 10 and the upgraded WebView accessibility and various things. So it's not even totally down to us. A lot of it is just the newer OS. So it does work much better. Again, there's still... I always prefer the note taker interfaces when we can get it, especially in social networking apps, because again, they're just very busy. There's a lot going on and there's a lot of different columns and stuff a lot of times, but it does work a lot better. It's a lot more doable.
It's also about speed, I think, Jenny. It's about how quickly you want to get information. Yeah. But just on that note, I know somebody, and I have not used this personally, but I had a few people tell me in relation to Polaris that tweetings for Android was a kind of a favorite, I think. So it might be one worth checking out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does have a lot. The thing about tweetings to know, first of all, you do have to pay for it. But it is worth it if you're a Twitter user. And the other thing to know, it even has accessibility settings and it's a mainstream app. You can really customize your view and you definitely want to do that because there's a lot of stuff. If you take it out and get it out of the way, it makes things a lot easier. So just kind of be aware of that.
Yeah. And sorry, just quickly while we're at it, are there any plans to make the BrailleSense 6 more accessible or more compatible with iPhone-based apps like the iOS?
I'm not sure if I understand what you mean. It's running Android, so it's not going to run iPhone apps. You know, some apps are cross-platform in that they are supported by both OSs, but
yeah,
we can't actually run iPhone applications. You can, of course, use it as a Braille display with your iPhone and deal with it that way.
Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you, Fritz.
Thanks, Fritz.
Thanks.
Next, we have David Wilkins. Good afternoon, David.
Hi. Can you guys hear me or am I still muted?
No, we can hear you now.
We've got you.
Pardon?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay, my question is, one problem I've had with every BrailleSense model is when I've tried to note take in a meeting, I think I must be typing too fast or trying to type in too much. The entire thing slows right down. Although it's coming up, the Braille line is taking a long time to catch up with what I've typed. And while it's doing that, it won't respond to anything I do with the computer unless I turn it off and turn it back on. Does the BrailleSense 6 have a similar problem?
You mean typing directly in the BrailleSense 6 or you mentioned the computer?
Yes, I do. Oh, okay. Yes, I do.
I don't think you're going to be able to out-type this one. That is one thing that we did know was sort of an issue with the Polaris for some users. And the keyboard also is a lot harder to touch. This one, I can't out-type it. I haven't yet. It's fabulous. I love the new keyboard, even on the 32. And I usually don't like the 32 cell models. I prefer the mini models with the smaller keys. And even with the 32, I've been using it like gangbusters and I love it. So I do think that's a serious improvement to this one. The whole keyboard mechanism is different. And it has a different feel, a different travel. It's just completely, entirely redone.
Is that the same with the Braille 6 dot keyboard, or are we talking about a QWERTY keyboard?
No, no, this is, I'm talking about the BrailleSense 6, the internal keyboard that's on it.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you very much.
Swiftly on to the next one. Nicola Sanders, if you could just unmute yourself, please. There we go.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Nicola.
Hi there. Excellent webinar, really interesting. I have a couple of related questions. The first question is about multiple open files on the Polaris and presumably the BrailleSense 6 as well in the notepad and or the word processor. I know that you can have, I think it's probably up to 10 files open in either of those. But what the problem that I find is that the only way to navigate between those is using tab and shift tab. So if I have, say, 10 files open, I don't seem to have any quick, efficient way of getting to file number 5 or 6 in that list. So it would be great if there could be a list of open files. And also, if I move from one open file to another, it seems that you have to save the changes or lose those changes. So it makes me wonder to what extent are those files really open, because it seems to take as much time for them to load as it does if you access them from scratch from the file manager. And
right.
A related question to that. Jenny, I know in one of your recent excellent webinars, you mentioned in response to somebody's question about having an extra instance of the notepad or word processor open. You said that there was that would be possible. I mean, I would certainly love that myself. But you mentioned a workaround involving opening the help and then opening another file from within it. And I can't get that to work. And I was wondering if there's a trick that I'm missing, because the open option doesn't seem to be available in the file menu when I open the help.docs, whatever it is. It's the menu starts with save as rather than the usual file open menu. Does that make sense?
It does. Just a second. Oh, it used to work. But I can see that it doesn't. I'm sure we can change that. Yeah, even the shortcut doesn't. I see
this
that.
Would be to open another instance of the word processor. Is that the idea?
The notepad, actually.
Yes, the notepad. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I will ask about that, because that used to actually work, and that was a really cool trick that we had. So right now you can use at least the notepad and the word processor. And if you divide your files between those two, that's going to give you a little bit easier time with that. Instead of cycling through 10, you can cycle through like 5 each. But yeah, we used to have that really cool way. And there's no reason that couldn't work. Because it is just another instance of the notepad. So again, let me check on that and see if we can sort of get that put back in.
Oh, that'd be good. And are the files genuinely open because of the fact that you do seem to have to save your changes before moving from one to another, right? Whereas on a PC, you wouldn't have to do that.
Right. So they're not actually open in separate windows the way that they are on the PC. That is actually why it is almost better to use different programs like the word processor and the notepad and help if you can to do this. Because you're right. They're actually not. They're being closed and reloaded.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It would be great if there was like a list of open files, such as the competition note taker, I believe, has. Because, I mean, it's true. You can open files in either the word processor or the notepad. But I often need to convert my docs files to text, because otherwise I can't search the numbering properly in them. So I'm a little bit restricted that way.
Okay, I gotcha. That's an interesting thought. We've not ever been asked for that, but it seems like it should be doable.
Yeah, it just makes things quicker.
I'm not a developer. Yeah, I'm not a developer, so I hate to promise anything, but that would seem to make sense and would seem to be possible. So again, let me check on that too. I need to be making a list here.
Thank you very much. Because I mean, it may be that it'll be quicker on the new BrailleSense 6, but for those who may not be able to upgrade, it would still be a useful feature that could perhaps be implemented in the Polaris as well. Yeah. Thank you very much anyway. That's great.
Sure. And they do actually load bigger. You're right. But you would still have to cycle through them. So
exactly.
That.
Yep. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Nicola.
Thank
Could I sort of interject? So I was going to do a second part of the presentation, but given all the questions that there are, I think I'm just going to quickly summarize what I was going to do and not actually do it, which is okay. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was just a quick overview of the new applications that we do not have in the Polaris. One of them, of course, I mentioned in the video was the dictionary. It is included now. I also pointed out the color reader, the language profiles, and the world clock. We have also recently added a Bookshare download application, which is really slick and very easy to use. It is everyone loves our interface, even though there are apps like GoRead and VoiceStream that you can use. But our interface is just really slick and quick. So we are actually working with Stuart right now to make sure that that will support RNIB and Bookshare Ireland. We also added the web radio function back for those of you who use the U2 and use the web radio function. We've added that back in the media player. The database manager, I think we brought that back. We have a couple other things still in the works as well, so we're not even quite finished. We'll see what we can get done before release one. But this is a very cool balance between all this modern, I showed you all this modern functionality and connectivity, but we also have really brought back a lot of the basics and the favorites, you know, the traditional note taker favorites. And, you know, one of the things that I have felt is with these devices, there's often a compromise. You either are more note taker-ish or you're more Android-ish. And I think this is probably the first device that I've ever used that really doesn't compromise either way. It lets you do both very, very well. And I am super excited about this. It's our sixth sense. Someone pointed that out to me. It's the Braille Sense 6. And she said, oh, it's your sixth sense. And I am planning on purchasing my own personal unit, and it will be my sixth sense as well. It'll be the sixth device that I've purchased from the company. So very cool. I'm very excited about this personally. It's not just that I'm trying to sell you or anything. This for me is the kind of device that I've dreamed up for a long time. So anyway, my enthusiasm is completely real, and we can return to the questions.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that. Mr. Beveridge, it is your turn, sir.
Hi, Stuart.
Yeah.
Unmuted. Hi, folks. I do apologize if I've missed this question because I had to drop out due to work commitments. So just a quick one for Jenny. Does the Braille Sense the Braille Sense 6 is, in terms of internet connectivity or network connectivity, is it just Wi-Fi or can you connect this to, say, your hotspot on your smartphone as well so that you can use it when you're out and about?
So it's going to support anything that Android does. So of course you could do the Bluetooth tethering if you wanted to do that. The hotspot on your phone is basically going to be a Wi-Fi connection, or, you know, of course, any home Wi-Fi. As I explained earlier, right now I'm using USB-C and via Ethernet. So yeah, I mean, anything that Android's going to support, it's going to work with.
Yeah, brilliant. And just one quick one, Jenny, as well. Is there any good GPS apps which work with it when you're out and about, or is that something that still needs to be worked on?
You know, there are actually several. There's APH's Nearby Explorer. If you're not in America, the only difference is you can't download the maps locally. You do have to be connected to something, the internet, but it will use Google Maps. Even found me in Korea, and there really aren't a lot of good GPS apps in Korea. So I was able to do that. Lazario is another one that I've heard is really great. I haven't had a lot of experience with that. There's one in Europe, I think it's called Seeing Assistant Move. There's a couple Seeing Assistant apps. That seemed really interesting. Again, I haven't played a lot with that. Part of it is it is a little bit difficult to do a lot of GPS stuff in Korea. So of course there's Google Maps, you know, that's built in and that's gonna be there no matter what. But yeah, I would say Nearby Explorer or Lazario are the ones that I've heard really good things about. Lazario's cheap.
Yep, sorry, that's wonderful. Thank you very much, Jenny. I'm really interested in this device, so I will be in touch with Stuart or Carl at some point soon to discuss further, if that's okay.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Stuart, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Please do give us a shout. Yeah.
Right, we've got the last hand for the moment. Carol Adams, if you could unmute yourself, please.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, Carol. Yeah.
Yeah, hi. So I don't know whether, Jenny, you'll be able to actually answer this because it's kind of a thing that we have here with the, you may be able to answer some of it. So I was going to ask about things like audio description. I do know that on the Polaris, the actual like Netflix and stuff like that work, but I have not been able to use a sort of ITV player, BBC iPlayer, anything like that doesn't seem to be work on it. So I was just wondering about that. And also whether you can have like, you know how on iOS you can turn audio description on or off for things, that sort of thing. And also, will it work on Clubhouse? So those are my sort of three questions, really.
Well, so just I'll just answer, just to help Jenny, I'll just answer the one about BBC, Carol, because we had another user who had an issue with BBC. And of course, we don't get BBC iPlayer over here either. But one of the challenges with BBC was that the Android app was a little bit too new for the Polaris. And even when we did install the app, it was a little bit sluggish. So I think that's going to be much better. And Clubhouse, of course, is not available at the moment, is only available for the iPhone at the moment, but it is coming to Android.
It's coming for Android. I read that the other day.
It is on the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but what about the audio description itself on and off? So
that's going to depend on the application. That won't be Polaris specific. That'll depend on the Android application itself.
So you wouldn't be able to sort of like turn it on and off like you can with iOS sort of thing. So if you like watching something, if you actually go online and watch it without an app or something like that, do you know what I mean?
I think I do. I haven't really used this function in iOS, but I think I do know what you're talking about. That's interesting because Google does some of that automatically. But honestly, I haven't done that myself again. I sort of find description sometimes gets in my way. So this is probably not something I would use. That's an interesting question. I will have to explore that because Google has some of those same functions. But I don't actually, like I said, I don't know. It's not something that I've tried.
I'm very worried at the moment because my Polaris Mini has actually been sent twice to be sorted out by HIMSS, and I don't know where I'm going to stand. I'm a bit worried and I'm thinking, you know, is this something that's an issue, going to be an issue with the new one? It kind of makes you cautious, even though I know it sounds great. I'm really worrying.
Well, that's, you know, the problem is that we are still in beta. So we're still in development. So we're not even finished. So part of the problem is that we haven't tested every situation. I mean, we really haven't. And so we'll be doing that, of course, the more people get this in their hands and that, but that kind of thing, it may not even be Polaris related. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if Android does that, you know, so it can't, it's not always going to be the Braille sense that's going to be at fault or not. Sometimes it might be, but it doesn't necessarily stand to reason that it is. It may just be that Android doesn't have said function.
Yeah. I was thinking that is the Mini, obviously the same with both the Polaris and the 6, is the Mini kind of made in the similar way to the big one? I mean, because it just seems to me like a motherboard issue twice to me, and I'm concerned naturally. And I, you know, you spend a lot of money and I don't want to, do you know what I mean?
I understand that. This is completely different hardware. Yeah. So yeah. It's not going to be, the issues that you have probably wouldn't parallel. You know, it's not even upgrading the current hardware. It's completely different. As far as it goes, it looks very similar on the outside, but what's on the inside is entirely different.
I see.
It's nothing related to the current Polaris.
Oh, I see.
And I'm putting you down to being majorly unlucky, Carol, because compared to the amount of units we've sold.
Yes.
To what we've had come back with motherboard issues, it's not even registering.
Yeah, I'm so gutted as well, because it's out of warranty now. So I'm very gutted, and I'm thinking I've just paid all that money, and it's like a year and a half. Well, I got it off someone else that hadn't had it very long, and it's very worrying. And I am very concerned, but I know I do get it. I know that it's not with every machine. It's just, it does make you worry, and especially being without it for so long. It's, you know what I mean? It's when it's your right hand and you lose it.
Well, it's part of your life, isn't it? And that's the point. And when it's not there, it's basically someone's taken your communication away from you. Yeah. It's what you use every day. Yeah. And I totally appreciate that. Maybe it'll be worth having a chat with us off here.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll see what we can do.
I was going to suggest that. And Carol, if you want to get in touch, I know I've been chatting to you before.
Yeah.
So do get in touch with me if you want, and we can have a chat about it. I'd also suggest maybe when the product is released that we arrange to get you a demo so that you can get actually sit down and, you know, just to have your hands on the machine.
Yeah.
Maybe with one of the sales guys or, oh my God, hopefully at that stage we'll be doing face-to-face stuff again.
We are already.
Yeah, well, Carl is, yeah. He's super. So, yeah, just give us a shout when you're ready, Carol, and I'll have a chat with you.
Yeah, because other people are asking me questions, and I'm saying, look, mine's already gone back twice. And they go, oh, no, does that mean we shouldn't get it? And I'm thinking, oh, God. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to say this to people.
Well, this is what I mean. And I could literally show you the stats of what we've had returned to what we've sold.
Yeah.
And you would just literally sit there and bang your head against a brick wall and think, I'm cursed.
Well, I know someone my husband is talking to someone about it. So I'm not quite sure who it is. But yeah, I'm just getting worried. The more time goes on, the more I'm thinking, how much is it going to cost as well? So.
Look, it's just if you get in touch with us anyway, Carol, after the session, and we'll see. We'll have a chat.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And there is a fact that we've all got demo units that have not exactly been used a lot. So there might come a time where we might be able to do you a deal on one of our Polaris. Did you say you've got a Mini?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, we might be able to do a deal on our Polaris Minis that we have.
Right.
And I've had one for a while, and trust me, it's probably been out of its case four times. So they're virtually brand new, and they're kept up to date and always checked and stuff. So there might be an option in that if you don't necessarily want to go down the route of a new six, that we can do you at our cost price, shall I say.
I just feel like it's a lot more money to spend when I've already had so much trouble, you know.
I know, I appreciate that. And that's why we want to find a solution for you. And that's what we're here to do, is to find something and a way around to manage it for you without obviously costing you an absolute blooming arm and a leg again.
Because I'm not actually working or anything. It's really hard at the moment.
No, so, I totally understand that. And we'll sort something out for you, I promise.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right, Carol, good to talk to you. Take care.
Right, one more. Hang on 2 seconds. Oh, in the meantime, Lorraine has asked, does the BS6 have book reader? And I'm assuming it's exactly the same as the Polaris, is it, when it comes to that? Yeah.
Yes, it does have the Daisy player.
Yep. So there you go. It's got the book reader. That was an easy one. Julia Cosgrove. Come in, Julia.
Right, hiya. It's Frank Cosgrove, actually.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it'd be Frank. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you. Now, the Polaris, I'm glad you put the web-based radio back into it. That's good. Are you aware of the BBC's change for all its URLs? Because at the moment, that web-based program that's in the U2 doesn't work for BBC.
Yeah, this is radio. This is a different database, so
yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. But
and are you updating the Polaris itself? Within the next month or two.
I don't know if it'll be the next month or two, but yeah, we do have a plan in the works to upgrade the Polaris.
For some upgrades. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Cheers, Frank.
Cheers.
Thank you. Right. It's on. I'm with you, my dear.
Ah, well, like I said, I had planned to do a little bit more demo, but this ran a lot longer than I thought it might. So I know he usually tries to keep these at about an hour. So I don't think that I will do that. What I was just basically going to do was overview the new apps, which I kind of already talked about. So, and I will probably make another webinar video on that. So sort of similar to what we just did here with the little short vignettes.
How about we get you back in a while?
Yeah.
Maybe just before it's due for its possible release.
Because I'm sure
we can focus
there'll
more
be
on software. Yes,
yeah, there will be changes. Yeah. There'll be updates. So yeah, let's do that.
I think that's a good idea, and I think everybody will want to hear that as well, because it's obviously going to go down the route of some things that may have changed, and I'm sure things will change. So,
okay, yeah.
I am looking, just because he asked about the BBC. Sorry, I don't have my audio on, but well, here, I can fix that too.
Voice on. Result list. BBC World Service News URL. HTTP. BBC World Service for Africa URL. HTTP. NPO Radio 1 URL. NPO Radio 2 URL.
So I'm getting quite a few results. It doesn't look like maybe it's all of them. I'm not entirely sure. But this is the new channel search, and it looks like they are coming up. So hopefully, I guess.
NPO BBC World Service for Africa URL, HTTP, BBC, the BBC World Service News URL, HTTP,
hang on.
Description, provide add channel button, play button.
Let's try to play it and see if
title. There are no items to display, static box.
Oh, I think you're right. I think it's the same problem. I think they're outdated, because it actually isn't playing. All right, very good. Okay, I need to write down all this stuff. And
that's why live webinars are such good fun.
Yeah, I know. I was sitting there about to end it then. Just like, quick, shut it off. That's before the answer.
No, all good. There's a lot of things it looks like I need to check on and follow up, which is not a big deal. That's what I'm here for. So yeah, we will try to take a look at that and see what's going on, because it does look like we do have the same problem with the new channel search as well, that they're outdated URLs. So we will check on that. Thanks for letting us know.
Okay. Jenny, thank you so much. I'm very conscious of the time for you as well. I think it's not far off midnight. So we really appreciate you staying so long with us and giving us being able to stay to answer so many of your questions, and telling us so much and showing us so much about the new BrailleSense 6. If anybody wants to follow up with us after this session, you can send an email to sales@sightandsound.co.uk and mark for the attention of Carol or myself, and it will be sent on to us. And I know there's a couple of people who are going to follow up with us directly as well. So that's it for today. Thank you so much, Jenny, for coming along. It's always great to have you at Webinar Wednesday. You're booked to come back already. So delighted with that.
Sounds good.
And thanks, as always, to Carl. And for everyone else, stay safe and stay well, and we'll talk to you soon.